on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Aldi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. This is the last thing Carlton fans want to hear. Lachie Henderson looks like he wants out. Contract talks are on hold and the Cats and Brisbane are closing in. Henderson is one of only a few players at the Blues that would have currency with other clubs. The Blues are scratching for key forwards and Henderson is the best the Blues have. The lack of certainty of what is happening at Princes Park surely is having an effect on the players, for last week's effort was insipid. It's hard enough losing games without a fight for Carlton fans, but bad news on the doorstep now looks like being the norm for the club. I'm KB. That's my take.
Stands and delivers. He was pulled off the ball. The ball floats forward. Henderson grabs it and snaps a goal.
Henderson's only 10 metres out. He should kick a goal. And Lachie Henderson does for the Blues.
Bryce Everett picks it up. He looks up. He goes to the top of the goal square. Henderson takes the mark.
Gets it across to Henderson, who stands on the goal line. And he just toe-poked it through for a goal.
Henderson from 40. That'll do.
That's his sixth goal. And the Blues are in party time now.
Well, what's Carlton fans going to do? What are you going to do down there with Lachie Henderson? Surely you've got to try and keep Lachie Henderson. Bad news on the doorstep. That's going to be the norm, I think, for Carlton going right throughout this season. 9:42, 9:11, 16. How important is Lachie Henderson to the future of the Carlton Football Club? 0433 98 11 16. If you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. Coming up is Greg Venom Denham taking your calls on all things sport. Of course, you can always set the sporting agenda. Glenn Boss, champion jockey, will be a special guest today. We'll catch up with Michelangelo Rucci from Adelaide, leading football writer. Get something off your chest. Always have a bunch of great prizes to give away. And then the Bar's Johnny Ralph will join us from 11, taking your calls on all things sport. And, of course, his famous three stings. Coming up next, Greg Venom Denham. Good morning, Greg.
G'day, Kev. How are you going? That's just...
Can they keep Lachie Henderson?
Well, that's just what Geelong Carlton fans have woken up to this morning. That's just fantastic, having a great run already this year. They know that they've never beaten Geelong in ever at Etihad Stadium, over 13 games. So that's a great contest this weekend. Look, Lachie Henderson's a really interesting one. I think he's been a bit of a reluctant Carlton player for probably maybe 12 months. He certainly, we know that he delayed his talks earlier in the year. His contract is out at the end of the year. Look, as of Tuesday, his management couldn't really say if he was staying or intending to go. I think it's probably protocol or diplomatic for them not to come out at this stage. I think he'll probably leave. Brisbane are definitely going to offer up something to return to the club.
Come back home?
To come back home. But even Brisbane aren't confident that he will definitely take that offer up. I think that they think Geelong's in the vanguard at the moment. The biggest question, I guess, is how can Geelong fit Dangerfield and Henderson in, if that's the case, if both players elect to leave their current clubs and go there next year? That's the question we should be asking. Oh, you mentioned Henderson key forward at Carlton. I think Geelong are thinking along the lines that he would be probably a key defender. He'd probably replace Jared Rivers if he went there at the end of the year. And they've got a few veterans and older players that they'll probably lose next year and give them salary cap relief. And is it beneficial for Carlton to actually let him go? I mean, he's not one of the untouchables that we read about earlier in Mark Murphy, etc., from Silvani earlier.
What have they got? Two untouchables?
In the week. Well, not many now.
Two?
Well, is Gibson untouchable? I presume he is. Mark Murphy's the one that's untouchable.
I think Mark Murphy's untouchable. I'm not quite certain about Gibbs.
No, you've got Matthew Kruser, who's a free agent still at the end of the year.
He's not an untouchable.
No. And you've got Henderson, who I believe's on about, the Herald Sun said, estimated early in the week, 400,000. I think it's about 450 to 500 that he's on. So, I mean, they might be happy to see him go.
So that's one untouchable. Ask Carlton fans.
I don't know.
I'll ask Carlton fans, how many untouchable players do you have that Stephen Silvani just cannot trade or cannot be moved on at Carlton? Is there just one or is there two? Is Henderson one of the untouchables that they've got to come up with a deal to keep him at Carlton? Is Kruser an untouchable? Is Gibson untouchable?
Gibbs,
I don't think Gibbs is an untouchable. He's been a terrific player for Carlton, but
I
if they're
Mick
going
Malthouse
to rebuild,
said in the
he's
past,
not an untouchable.
He said in the past that he was untouchable, whether that status still remains. I think Mick said Gibbs has been untouchable the last time that he re-signed. So,
but
yes,
I
don't
at the moment,
think that, I don't
but at
think
the moment,
that
that's
status,
a hollow call. That's
exactly,
a hollow call I'm at saying, the moment because Mick, you know, at this stage doesn't know whether he's going to be there himself. So it's a hollow call at the moment.
Yeah, well, they're going to lose Warnock. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost Warnock. I don't think that he's...
Is Walker an untouchable?
Oh, no. God, you'd get rid of Walker in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know if Walker would be wanted elsewhere, to be honest with
Simpson,
you.
Simpson, an untouchable?
Old? No.
Yaron. Is Yaron an untouchable?
No. I wouldn't have thought so. So, I mean, they've got a bit to play with, and it obviously depends on how Steve Silvani rates his list and who he wants to keep, who he doesn't. What sort of players can attract the best deals back to the footy club? Like, I think their only way to go forward is to get as many draft picks as they can, and maybe even trading a few of them, but definitely keeping the early picks. Did I read earlier in the week that Soss said it was a 4 or 5 year plan? It's at least a 3 year plan, no doubt.
What about his father and son for Carlton? Is Stephen Silvani's son up for father and son this year?
Yeah,
is that
I believe
next
so.
Year?
No,
he's got a couple of sons, hasn't he?
This year, yeah.
Yeah, one's in the under-18s now. Is that Jack? Is it?
I think so. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean, they need more than that, and they need more than another Silvani playing to help out down there. So it's going to be a juggling act, and it's going to be really interesting to see the blueprint that Steve actually produces at the end of the year to get them off the bottom of the ladder. But whatever it is, it's going to have to involve a lot of draft picks, and they've got to pin their faith.
Because you had a lot of draft picks at GWS.
Oof, no one had more, Kev. No one
had
more.
So it's a lot tougher for Stephen Silvani, you know, to pick up all the best young talent and for that talent to be, you know, developed than it was.
Well, they've got to be good enough.
The Giants, because
they've got to be good
enough. Draft picks, they just kept picking the best kid.
Well, they've got to be good
draft.
Enough to get rid of players and get something in return and then maybe on-trade those. For these kids. So they've got to be clever about it. They haven't necessarily been clever in the past. I told you at the start.
Well, you have a call
last year, I said to you, Liam Jones, worst ever, right? Now, he's done nothing. I hope he does improve for his sake because it's been an embarrassment at Carlton, right? Now, they've got to do better than that. Silvani wasn't there at the time. He's there now. So it's their chance to blossom in the sun.
What about his association with some of those young players at the Giants? Would that have some pulling power for... You know, deals to be done to get some of those young kids that he knows and seen develop.
Well, look, if they're available and they want to come to Melbourne and they want to play for Carlton, it certainly wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt, would it? Mm. Would not hurt.
Well, if you're back for North Melbourne, don't be too concerned about the fact that Andrew Swallow is not going to be playing and Wells is not going to be playing for North Melbourne this week. Ben Brown looks to be in some sort of doubt, and also Dale Santo, because Brad Scott, the coach, just reminded a few people of what happened last year.
We pride ourselves on our depth, and last year we won over there without our reigning best and fairest 3 years running, because Scott Thompson was the other one who didn't play. So, you know, both teams will probably have a turnover of 7 or 8 players in terms of the 22 that will line up for their respective sides on Saturday night. So, you know, it's about the players who are there. We're really confident in the 22 we can put forward.
And I reckon that some sides, and particularly North Melbourne, will take a little bit of heart from the way the Bulldogs, after, you know, being about 5 or 6 goals down the first quarter, got back to tie up the game late in that final quarter before going down by, what, something like 13 points. So maybe, you know, the Dockers, they're on top of the ladder, undefeated, but Brad Scott just reminding people that they do travel well over there and play well, hey, as they did last year.
Oh, honestly, fair dinkum, some people have got very, very small memories, Kevin. And you know that game last year that Brad was just talking about, not going in with his three best and fairest players?
Well, that was true what he said. That was
it
true.
Was true. But you know who didn't play for Fremantle that day?
Who?
Ballantyne, Walters, Barlow, Ibbotson. Give me a break, Kevin. Fair dinkum. One-way traffic here.
One-way traffic.
One-way traffic, yeah. You got to get the full story. We know who didn't play for North, and I've just told you who didn't play for Fremantle. I know who I'd want to be on out of those players returning.
But he's just saying to his North Melbourne supporters, Greg, that last year they went across there without key players. So don't think because we're going across there without the key players,
I know,
that we haven't got a chance against the side that's best in the competition.
I understand
I
that.
Think it's a very strong point that he made. And I think on the back of the Bulldogs' performance, there's probably a bit of confidence now that some sides think, well, maybe, you know, Freo are very, very good and on top of the ladder, but maybe they're not unbeatable, Greg.
Oh, no one's unbeatable.
Well,
and as Ross Lyon said in the Australian today, we're not going to be playing at our best, very, very best every week. So at one stage, someone's going to kick 100 points and beat them.
And also he's told the North Melbourne fans they're just not going to focus on one player in Nat Fyfe.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a quality player. You know, we've respected him for a long time. But look, as I said earlier in the press conference, you know, if we overplay Fyfe, and I understand that he's a great player and everyone is rightfully talking highly of him, but don't disrespect David Mundy and Stephen Hill and Lachie Neale and all those guys. They're a very good midfield. And there's no point having a superstar midfield when you don't have, or a superstar midfielder that doesn't have a good midfield around him. And Fremantle have got that.
Of course, Brad also used one of the greatest phrases that we hear all the time now, that he's a quality player and we respect him enormously, which is just the normal throwaway line that everyone does now when they talk about the opposition. Quality player, quality team, we've got enormous respect for him.
When I saw it was his 100th game this week, I nearly fell over because it feels like that he's been around forever. He's a very, very, very good player.
Also, as we go to the break, I must tell the fans, Greg is no longer brought to you by the Spirit Eagle Hotel in the heart of the mighty Tigerland, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street, because the Spready is a class establishment and does not tolerate yobbos, and you were called that last week, Greg. They've taken that on board. Therefore, they have disassociated themselves with you, Greg. You don't live there anymore. This is not your home, and no longer it's your phone number. They do have the chef special this week. It's called Venom Humble Pie. So come on down for your serve. They're going to serve the coldest beer and the best food. So to experience real Richmond hospitality, drop in or contact the Spirit Eagle Hotel on 94286895. Welcome back. Greg has joined us. We're taking your calls. Let's fly through our callers. Sally Boy is from Reservoir. Sally Boy, I can hear him in the background. We'll come back. Let's go to Simon from West Meadows. G'day, Simon.
Hi, fellas. How are you going?
Good, mate. Well, I've been turfed out in the street by the sounds of it.
KB, his finest work. about Hendo. Look, I'm actually more on the view of as if he goes, he's not going to be in our next premiership window. So, and a lot of
when is that? When is that? You think, Simon?
I really don't want to mention how long that's going to actually be. I think we deep down know that's going to be probably at least a minimum of 5 years, because it's just you got GWS and you know. They're just going to dominate. I think they're going to be one of the sides that just dominate for 3 years plus, to be honest. But, so you look at Gibbs, Henderson, these players aren't going to be in that next premiership window. I think I'm hoping a Brisbane will, entice enough for him to go there, because I think they'll have the best pick, obviously being one of the lower clubs. And if we could try and offload a few of these players and get at least three or four picks in the top, say, 20 to 30, Silvani hopefully will have the nous to actually choose a few players and get us on the roll. Mm. But again, we have no security with a coach, and that doesn't help. And obviously not playing enough kids now to help support whatever draft picks come through.
I would think, Simon, that they would like to see Henderson go back to Brisbane, because they therefore could do a deal for James Aish, because Carlton's one of the sides that want Aish.
Yes, absolutely.
So that could fit into their plans nicely.
Well, Brisbane's got a few other plans, in, I would imagine, down the at the end of the year too, with the likes of Leuenberger, who I think is a free agent, but they could trade still. So they've got a few things in place because they need...
But Henderson for Aish is part of a deal.
Yeah, the player's got to want to go there. And Henderson's from the Western Districts. I think his father's a vet in one of those towns that Ralphie mentioned in the paper this morning. Did he go to Geelong Grammar? I think he might have. Look, he certainly...
Simon Black's one of his best friends up at Brisbane.
Well, that's got nothing to do with going to Geelong. A big deal. But I'm saying his family's down there. I think his family would like to see him home more often. And I would think that at the moment, and I don't know this, but that may well be his preferred destination at the end of the year.
Thanks, Simon. Dom is in Reservoir. G'day, Dom.
Good morning, KB and Greg.
G'day,
thanks,
pal.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. Yeah.
Greg, I do recall last year, those four players you mentioned, I do recall privately celebrating that they were out of that game to make it a little easier for North when we went to Perth last year. But from a North perspective, I'm just wondering, with Ben Brown likely to miss this week and obviously swallow our captain out, I'm keen to see Trent Jermont come back and get a full game, because he did show a lot as a sub in that one 15-minute outing that he had down at Geelong a few weeks ago on debut. But do you think, KB, I know you've been a bit of a fan of him in the past, but then at the same time, conceded that he's not consistent enough, but he has been ruined by the sub vest on a few occasions. But is it Majak's last chance to come in and impact and just fly for marks and just be confident like he is at VFL level and make it hard for Michael Johnson to take those uncontested marks in defence? Is this his last chance to save his career?
I don't know whether it's his last chance, but, you know, with Waite coming and with Brown there as well, you also got Black down at North Melbourne. They've got a number of tall forwards at the moment. So, I mean, he always looked to me to have that exciting X factor about him, but whether or not, you know, the nuances of the game, has he improved much as far as that is concerned playing in the VFL?
Well, in the VFL this year, KB, he's kicked goals and played in a ruck as well. He kicked three last week. He gets more confidence playing in the ruck. So if he starts the game off in the middle of the ground and gets a few touches, then he goes forward. This is at VFL level, obviously, yep. where it's obviously not as difficult. But he goes forward and has an impact and takes big grabs. But when he plays AFL, like the last 2 years when he's come in for his first games of the year, he has impacted.
Yes.
But then he just seems to be affected by just self-doubt. It just seems to get him. But obviously being handed the red vest in five of his 14 games, it's killed him. And it does cause self-doubt in a lot of these young players and players that haven't played a lot of games. They get given that dreaded green vest to start the game or the red vest to spend the second half wearing, and it just kills their confidence. I do notice that with Majak. It's all about confidence. Cause
well, I've got to say, Dom, if he is a guy with self-doubt, to bring him in, to take him to Perth to play against the best defensive team in the competition, probably with Luke McFarlane back in that team. And if he fails again, that might be the end of him. That might ruin him forever.
Well, I'll ask North Melbourne fans, would you like to see Majak given another chance, as has been suggested by Dom? Even though they've got this great defence, Greg, Majak may add that X factor where he does things that maybe other players won't do or won't even attempt to do. And he can jump and he can take spectacular grabs and spectacular marks.
How many times have you seen that in a game from him?
Well, he's only played a handful. I haven't seen him in the VFL. I've only seen him play a handful of games, you know, in the AFL.
Yep.
But I can remember his very first game when he got knocked out. He looked spectacular early in that game. I can recall when he went across to Perth against Nat Nui that first time. They jumped up in the ruck and he jumped straight over the top of Nat Nui. And this is what Dom is saying.
You're picking isolated incidents.
But he's had a time to develop from there, Greg. That's what I'm saying.
I
don't
hope
know
for his sake
whether he's
has.
Picked up the nuances of the game. But what Dom is saying, he's playing very well in the VFL. He's
yep.
kicked three goals last week. And if you are looking for a bit of an X factor over there in Perth, and Ben Brown's not available, so how's Aaron Black going? So do you go with Aaron Black? Or do you go with someone like a Majak Dawe? You've got Petrie, you've got Waite, but do you want that other tall player? It's not silly, Greg. Brent is in Riddles Creek. G'day, Brent.
G'day, boys. Thanks for taking the call.
Cheers, Brent.
Kevin, surely Greg has to be up for a nomination for Gibberish of the Week with his comments, where he's had a crack at Brad Scott for his one-sided conversation.
It was more of the media coverage of it today, of that comment from Brad Scott, just giving one side and giving the North Melbourne side. I haven't read anywhere
but
today.
But that's not Brad Scott's fault. I'm not blaming Brad Scott. No. For North Melbourne fans, we're going across there. Don't be too concerned because last year we went across there.
Listen to what I just said.
Well,
it's been a one-sided report of his comments yesterday.
It seemed, Greg, that you wanted Brad Scott to say, but of course, don't forget last year, Frio didn't have these players in. That wasn't Brad Scott's
duty. Well, coaches don't normally
duty
say
to
that.
Do
no,
that.
I didn't expect that at all. Sorry, Brent, if you misunderstood what I was trying to get at.
Well, I did.
Brad Scott said, you know, didn't he? Brad Scott said that both teams will have 7 or 8 changes. So
yeah, he did.
How's that one-sided? I don't understand.
Well, he didn't name the quality of calibre of players that were missing from Fremantle that night.
But it's not his position to do that, Greg.
No, look, please. You're not understanding what I'm trying to talk about.
I think Brent is spot on. I think you owe an apology. And I think that is gibberish of the week. Certainly it's a nomination. Let's go to Arden Street and Pete's there. G'day, Pete.
Good morning, gentlemen. Greg, stop picking on North Melbourne. You really hate us.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. And I've got to...
You hate North Melbourne, and the Bulldogs.
I'll tell you what I didn't like last week was the fact that you should have beaten Essendon by about 8 goals and you just frittered away too many opportunities. Boy, kicking for goal, kicking around ground. You really missed those foot skills of Del Santo and Wells, I've got to say that. But I don't dislike North. I like North. What's your point, Pete?
Anyway, anyway, I just wanted to ring up about Medjack.
Yep.
There's one aspect of his game that will never come up to scratch, and that's his defensive skills. He's just terrible on these defensive skills. Yeah. He just doesn't seem to have the mindset, or does he seem to have the engine to keep running after defenders when they're coming out of our forward line? And he just doesn't have it. And the other point I want to make, forget Aaron Black, Kev. He's hopeless. The sooner they move him on or just give up on him, the better.
So if that's the case, Pete, I mean, all players have deficiencies, and you've just pointed out some negatives from Ajack Dore, but what about the positives? You've also got to look at the positives that players can actually bring to a side. Now, if you don't like Aaron Black, does that mean that, you know, you're happy for Ajack Dore if he got the nod from the coach to go across and play Frio?
Well, look, if he goes across and plays, you know, that's a matter of desperation, I think. There are other players that should come in and take the spot before him.
Well, who can take the spot of Ben Brown?
Game plan a little bit.
But who takes the spot of Ben Brown, Pete?
Well, Marcin Wood can come in, Kev. I reckon.
What? Why was he rested last week, Pete?
Actually, I really don't know. No. I'm disappointed he was.
And while you're still there too, we've got to go to a break. But how good was Hansen last week? I really thought that he was absolutely fantastic first up.
But Mason Wood is not as big as Ajack Dore.
No, he's not. But
he's not as big as Aaron Black, is he? He's chunkier. And I mean, he played against the Tigers, played on the ball a bit, played
pretty
on,
much on
Cotch
a, wing,
a little bit down in Hobart.
Yeah.
So he's not that other big key forward, is he? That's what I'm asking North Melbourne fans. I mean,
maybe they don't need one against Fremantle. Maybe they should go in.
Just go with Petrie and Waite.
Well, maybe they should. I don't know. That's what Brad Scott's domain. That's what he does.
Coming up shortly is Greg Denham's match committee too for round 8. This is where you should tell us who should come in and who should come out. 9429 1116. Let us know what changes need to be made for your team. And as we go to the break, Greg, you should say this more often. It's 23 minutes to 10 and Greg Venom Denham has joined us. And of course, you can be part of the match committee. Who should come in? Who should come out? I do hope that Richmond keep Liam McBean in the side. Greg, I know others will be available. Shane Edwards will certainly have to come back into the side. I know Ben Griffiths has been pretty good for the Tigers, but Vickery came in last week, kicked 3 goals. But I reckon McBean, it was good for the Tigers to have something different last week.
Oh, that's what I've been saying.
Shakes up the side a little bit, and some of those younger kids coming in. And McBean showed a few good things on the weekend. He did lead up. He did play in front. Now, he had an opportunity to kick a goal, and he usually is a pretty good kick. So he didn't nail the goal, but I'd like to see the Tigers just show a bit of faith in Liam McBean, and also it just shows the, you know, the rest of the side that if you come into the side and you play and you win and you're part of that mix, then it's pretty hard to get out of the side. You know, you continue to grow and play well.
Well, I mean, gone were the 25-year-old mature-age sort of rookie-type blokes, Lloyd, et cetera, et cetera. And in was, you know, Ellis, McBean, Menadou. I mean, that is your future. Let's have a look at them play. And even if they didn't go so well, it certainly did the trick.
Well, Edwards certainly has to come back into the side. But I'd still like to see somehow if they could keep McBean in the side and give him a run of a couple of weeks, because make it tough for people to get back into the side. Ben joins us in Bundoora. G'day, Ben.
Yeah, good, KB. Greg, how you going?
Good, Ben.
Can I make 3 points about Carlton? As a passionate member that goes to the football every week.
Please do.
Carlton need to get 3 picks in the top 20. Now, to do that, there's only, I think, 4 players on the list that are worth a first-round pick, and that's Yaron, Henderson, Murphy and Gibbs. But I wouldn't trade the captain because I don't think it's a good look. So those 3 other players are up. Grabs, I think.
Yep.
And the second point...
I think you're right there.
Yep. And I think the second point, the media are like on a witch hunt to sack Michael Malthouse. Because I don't think the Carlton Football Club have done anything wrong, but the media seem to be on a personal witch hunt to get him the sack, as it looks from the public's perspective, way we see it.
Well, from the public's perspective, if that's what people think... I think Mick's treated the media with contempt for 25 years, so I can understand that.
But I don't think that, Ben. I think what the media has spoken about is Carlton's lack of direction for Mick and the club and the players. I think most people have said, look, what more can they learn about Mick? He's a champion coach. He's coached more than anyone else in the competition, in fact, in history. There's nothing more he has to prove. He's either the man for the job of a rebuild, which Carlton have said, or he's not. But Carlton won't make that decision now. So I don't think anyone in the media is saying that Mick Malthouse can't coach and shouldn't be coaching Carlton. I think everyone in the media is saying what's coming out of Carlton is respect for Mick, but no love for him to be the coach next year. But I like your thoughts.
One more pick. Do you have another point, Ben?
Yeah. And can I ask at what stage or what round will they be talking about tanking?
Well, we can't talk about tanking ever now. No stage. No. No, there'll be no tanking at Carlton. There'll be a little bit of list management happening.
Greg,
but Greg, no, we don't.
No, no. But Greg and Ben, can they tank any worse than what they're doing now?
No. And that's another point too. So no, Ben, we won't.
Sometimes people think you're tanking, but that's as good as you can do. Pete's in Chelsea. G'day, Pete.
Hello.
G'day, Peter.
Yeah, mate. Mr. Denham.
Yes.
John Anderson writes in the Sun.
Yes.
Ever kicked a foot in his life?
Johnny Anderson?
Yeah.
I don't really know. He looks like a bloke that could kick a 60-metre...
Looks like a tough back pocket player to me. Buck Rover.
About the game then, mate.
Oh, he's pretty good. Why? What's your beef with Ando?
His Monday's pay when he does the super coach and the final, you know.
Yeah.
And he comments under a couple of players.
Yeah.
On Monday, he said there's a bloke at Geelong not up to AFL level.
And who,
I reckon he's a bloody good footballer.
Who do you mention?
A bloke named Kirsten.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's not up to AFL level, and I agree with Ando, because until he learns to kick straight for goal from 20 or 30 metres out, he's not up to AFL footy, so I agree with Ando.
A lot of people
there
in AFL
go.
Football, Greg, are missing from 20
well,
or 30
metres. Well, I don't care,
out.
But I've watched him too many times. He's nailed him from 60, correct,
yeah,
Pete?
Yeah, but hang on, Greg.
And he can't kick straight from 20 metres, so I'm in Ando's corner.
Now, look, I don't know whether Ben Kirsten's going to be a great player for the Cats or not, but by just saying, Greg, because he misses from 20 to 30 metres out...
Kevin, why do you play in the forward line?
Travis
what is
Slocum's
your job?
Been missing from 20 and 30 metres out for 10 years, Greg.
Okay, I understand that. But why... this is
Richo missed a lot from 20 and 30 metres out. But they were terrific players.
Right.
So you can't knock him just because he's missing from 20 and 30
metres
out.
Well, they're too bad a misses. I'm with Ando. Sorry about that, Pete. Well, was there another player that you blurted about?
No, just Ben Kirsten. Geelong fans, you can chime in if you like, but I think, Greg, to just suggest he's not up to AFL standard because he's missing
goals. Not acceptable. He's done it too often this year. No.
Paul Seisman on the weekend, Greg, was directly in front after the
three-quarter
time. He's
a backline player, Kevin. And he
to put the Pies 7 points up and missed everything, Greg. Everything.
So did. I've seen plenty of people.
Correct. That is correct, Greg. So you don't say they're not up to AFL standard.
Well, then he goes back to the seconds and learns how to do it until he comes back.
Glenn is in West Brunswick. G'day, Glenn.
Hi, good day, boys. How are you?
Good, Glenn.
Enjoy the program.
Cheers, mate.
Will you just bear with me a little bit? Greg, first of all, I agree entirely on what you said about the juggling act that Stephen Silvani has got. The history, as you would probably know, this is the first time Carlton's had a list manager, which I have found incredible. Mick inherited a very poor list that needed enormous turnover, and certainly I regard Bryce Gibbs as the person that Carlton should trade for a pick. I know that Soss is working extremely hard to get the processes in place off the field for the recruiting. For the first, when clubs are provided with psychological reports and physical reports on potential draftees, there was only one club that didn't read them, and that was Carlton, and now it's really coming home to roost with us. So with Silvani in place, I think we're off the field, moving in the right direction in that area. As for Mick, well, the problem with Mick is his game plan and the players that he's got. What do you think about that?
I think that there's one word that when you talk about list management at Carlton, and it's unfortunate that it's going to have to be this way, but you have to be patient. Simple as that.
Game plans never work unless you've got good players, Glenn. Paul Roos had fantastic game plan when he was with the Sydney Swans and, you know, one of the great coaches. You can see even Paul now, he's copping, you know, 105-point defeats on the weekend. The same with Mick, a great coach. Game plans are great, but you've got to have people to execute. I mean, Dennis Pagan had a fantastic game plan when he was coach of North Melbourne, but that same game plan didn't work at Carlton. So you need players. But I tell you one thing, what comes through from Carlton fans, Stephen Silvani, he is the king.
Messiah.
It's all up to...
Yeah.
He is the Messiah.
He's Messiah.
He is
Soss.
The person...
Soss the Messiah.
He is the person who is going to save the Carlton Football Club.
Well,
it's a lot of enormous pressure on Steve.
It's going to hang around his neck whether he saves them or not. But
a lot of pressure on Steve. And he is seen as the person, the only person it seems who can actually save the Carlton Football Club. Out of the break, Greg Denham's match committee as well, and you can always join in. Who do you think should be the changes this week? And, of course, I just want to remind people that this came through from the Spread Eagle Hotel today. They've wiped the hands of you, Greg, and that sounds pretty good to me because they've still got their famous address down there, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. They've thrown you out. You no longer live there, Greg. You no longer can use 94286895 as your home phone number. And they've even got a special on this week called Venom's Humble Pie. So come on down and get your serve as well. Still got the coldest beer and the best food, so experience real Richmond hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 94286895.
Oh, yeah, that's your excuse. You stick to it. You're a yobbo.
Yeah, we'll make those assessments as in the ensuing days. You know, we're quietly confident.
When you don't bring effort or you don't play to what the instructions are, and you have to find out what the reason is.
He's in the mix, stayed in the mix because of what he did today, so it was quite encouraging.
Thursday's selection day in the AFL. Who's in? Who's out? Who have you lost patience with? Call 9429 1116 to join the match committee and pick your team's best side.
Yes, you be the chairman selectors. Who's in and who's out? I'd just like to see the Tigers still persist with Liam McBean this week in that big game coming up against Port Adelaide, and hopefully that we find out which way the wind is blowing once we get to Adelaide Oval.
Well, Carlton's a hot subject today. It'd be really interesting to see if Cruiser actually gets a gig after two games back in the VFL this year. He's played one game of Carlton's last 30. So I'm not sure if he's in or not yet. But the Western Bulldogs...
So would you bring him in or not?
Probably not. I might give him another game in the VFL, actually.
They've got nothing to gain. To rush him back. And
not really.
Young man's missed so much football, had so many setbacks.
I think the Western Bulldogs, they admitted last week, they made a blue bringing Lynn John back early from an injury.
Broken hand.
So he only had four touches, Kev, played 86% of the game. So I'd say he's probably out. Honeychurch had a poor game as well. I thought
McRae comes back.
Jack McRae's probably really got to come back. 34 possessions in the VFL. Will Minson, another interesting, had 20 possessions in the VFL.
Do they go with Ace Cordy again?
Don't know. Out of favour, Will? Don't know. He's been out for a month.
Good tactics last week by Luke Beveridge.
Oh, great tactics. You idiot. Where are you falling from that from? Fremantle scored more double Western Bulldogs from clearances because Sandilands absolutely dominated.
They got back in because they had that loose
player
running
around. Oh, did they win,
Kevin? Well, they got back, Greg, to be
the
level
difference in clearances
with a few minutes to go. But, Greg, just the thinking to say, you know what? We get smashed. We're going to lose the ruck. And I said before the game, when you said, Greg, about bringing Minson back in, I said, it doesn't matter. Sandilands is the most dominant person in his position. No one can actually beat him in the ruck because... he's just too big.
Yeah, so you just don't play a ruckman, right?
Well, you know what? What they showed last week doesn't make any difference whether you play. If he gets 57 hit-outs against your ruckman or against your rover, it doesn't make any difference, Greg. It's what you do at ground level. So from that point of view, I think it was pretty smart.
Well, it cost him the game, Kevin.
It did cost him the game.
Well, you have a look at the scores kicked from clearances. Fremantle kicked four goals, three or something, to two goals. That was the difference in the game.
It makes no difference, Greg. We're just saying he was still going to get the tap out and hit out.
Fair dinkum.
Mark's in South Melbourne. G'day, Mark.
G'day, how are you? I'm talking about St Kilda.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Nick Riewoldt is going to be out injured. Who are they going to bring back? Will they bring back Membry or...
Instead of McCartan, I'm not really sure. The obvious one is to bring back McCartan. I would probably bring back Membry. I would, Mark, but I'm not St Kilda. They're on a roll. I think their young kids have been fantastic. I'd probably settle on Membry rather than McCartan at this stage of their developments.
I'll tell you one thing, Mark. Josh Bruce was fantastic last week for the Saints.
Gee, he's been a revelation, hasn't he?
He has been fantastic. Now, when Riewoldt went down, Talia, of course, was playing on Riewoldt, and he went back onto Bruce. Bruce should have kicked seven goals. Maybe he could have even kicked eight goals. From memory, I was broadcasting the game. I reckon his first two set shots he missed. Finished up kicking five goals. That's one of the moves of the year and one of the players of the year, Josh Bruce. You know, all of a sudden bob up as this key forward because we kept thinking, you know, Nick Riewoldt, outside of Riewoldt, who have they got? You know, they went and got memory from Sydney Swans. This young kid is just absolutely fantastic. John's out on the road, wants to talk about Mad Jack Dorr. G'day, John. Should he come in?
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Kevin. How you going?
Good, Johnny. Pal. No one knows North Melbourne better than you, Johnny.
Yeah, before I want to comment about Magic Door, I want to ask you one question. In Magic Door, the problem they have with that girl is still going in court or is finished?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
No, I think that trial is still going. I don't think that's over yet, John.
If it's not over yet, I wouldn't send him to Perth. I would get Wood instead, because until they're going in court, he can't play 100% because of that problem is still on his mind. Mm. And when the court is all over and he still keep on give us a bit of a shocking game sort of thing, just get rid of him, because we've been given so many chances. It's already been about 4 years, so I think he has a lot of chances now. We're better off to stick with Wood. At least he'll get a younger player, and he knows he's going to perform.
Yep.
He's not as big as Matt Jack Doyle. No. Mason Wood can't play in the ruck, can he? So, I mean, he's horses for courses.
Well, nor can
and
Matt
also, we were told earlier by North Melbourne fans that he's actually playing pretty good football in the VFL, Johnny. So, from that point of view, he's still playing good football there. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they actually bring Mad Jack in because of that X factor, Greg, but you're not a fan of Mad Jack Dawes.
Not really.
Okay. The answer to your question, John, about the legal proceedings with Mad Jack Dawes, the trial for Mad Jack Dawes is expected to start this September. We'll take a break. We're coming back. We can take more of your calls. Glenn Boss is going to join us after the break. Michelangelo Rucci, of course, the leading AFL scribe in Adelaide. Get something off your chest. Again, it's always your forum to fire up. Always have a bunch of great prizes. Then the Buzz, Johnny Ralph, will join us from 11 with his famous three stings. Welcome back. And Greg Venom Denham has joined us. I want to play a bit of audio for you, Greg, of Chris Dawes last week before Melbourne were thrashed by Hawthorn.
The Hawks are going to be vulnerable in the sense that they don't have their best 22 and they're missing a few and they're coming off a loss, so it shows they can be beaten.
How better could you make your coach cringe? A smart man, I believe he's studying to be a lawyer or something. So, I mean, Dumb and Dumber 2 came out on, I saw on Foxtel this week. Nothing could match this. So, I mean, that was the most antagonistic thing I've ever heard. Talk about poking a stick at a bear.
So you reckon that
Hawthorn have just gone, whoosh, 105 points, see you later, Dawsey.
You actually think Hawthorn played better because Chris Dawes suggested that their form the previous week.
Oh, not really.
Therefore, he pointed out they had a few players.
Rusey must have
And it was
just
an opportunity
gone.
For them. Well, you got
to
talk.
What Rusey thought when he said it, fair dinkum.
You got to talk yourself up a little bit, don't you, Greg? I mean, you can't go in with your backs to the wall in every game. Greg, I just noticed your new home address is that bus shelter across the road from SEM because you've been kicked out of the Spread Eagle Hotel.
You're a yobbo.
See you tomorrow. Thanks for that.